as will be the theme of this episode, who the fuck knows with COVID? There's no predicting rosters at this point.
It's kind of crazy that our game wasn't canceled. The whole, you know, all week I was just like, watch it happen.
Oh, I thought for sure it was going to get canceled. I cannot believe they played that game, which affected the product, but we'll save that for later. But so I think my choice would be Vancouver Tampa on Thursday.
The 13th?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, so that's the plan. So then, did you see Matrix Resurrection?
No.
Doesn't matter.
I don't watch movies.
Doesn't matter. So you know, but you've seen The Matrix. I know. I'm pretty sure we've seen it together.
I mean, obviously the original, the first one, and then I saw the second one, I think in the theater. And
me too.
And I just dropped off. Me too. I never saw the third one.
I ended up seeing it, and I mean, this isn't a movie podcast, so like, I don't know about, it's not as bad as people make it out to be. There's like obvious issues, but I don't know, those were kind of handed to the Wachowskis and they dealt with it as best they could. But in the spirit of Matrix coming out during, like, while we were researching this episode, I want to offer you, so you have two choices here. You can either, as a listener, you can either take the blue pill, the podcast turns off, it switches over to 31 Thoughts, and you keep viewing the league the same as you did and enjoying all the games. You take the red pill, and we start reading Brad Marchand's Twitter thread and show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Definitely the red pill.
Because, like, basically the theme of this episode is going to be very dark, and I think the product for the NHL is at its worst right now. This was, I don't know how you feel. Yeah. It was very difficult to watch games this week. This is the least amount of hockey I've watched in a long time. Just because the COVID is ruining, like, it's not enjoyable. Like, you don't know you don't know who's going to be on what roster on what night, and perfect example for our game of the week, we're missing Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and Trevor Zegras. The whole reason we were wanting to watch the Ducks was for Zegras, and he didn't play. I mean, the team was on COVID protocol for the 2 weeks leading up to this one, and he didn't play, and he didn't even play in this game of the week or the game before it against Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much on a nightly basis, it's largely AHL rosters, and it feels that way. You know, our game of the week definitely felt that way. You know, I've gone to my share of AHL games in Austin and seen a lot of those players that have, I mean, what is it? Delorier's played like 500 AHL games or something like that. You know, it's like these are career AHLers and they love to fight. And like, it's just, it's a dumb brand of hockey.
Yep. Yeah. The play on the ice isn't good. There's not much tactically interesting to break down, because what the fuck are you going to do with the coach as a coach when you don't know what your roster is going to be night to night?
Or if you're even going to be able to coach.
True. Yeah. Yeah. So it's difficult to, so here's the thing. Every other podcast is like, we don't want to spend the whole episode talking about COVID. Like everyone's sick of talking about COVID. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, that's all I want to talk about regarding this, because it's the elephant in the room. It's all that is, it's, you know, it's just how we just pretend it's not there. And every moment it's in the back of your head and you just aren't, nobody's embracing it. And I say, fuck it. Let's talk about how shitty this is and how bad this is affecting the league and how we're basically in a spot where this is what it's going to be. Like, I do not see, they're not going to do what the World Juniors did. Like, I don't see that happening. And I were talking before we started recording about how that just kind of came up out of nowhere. And the reason why it happened the way it did was because they were just trying to run through and make the money on the product. Like, they knew that Omicron was going to affect their tournament. They knew that was going to happen. And they were hoping they could just push it through and get it done without any protocols, like, i.e. the NHL. And it got to a point where, because it's IAHF and they have stricter standards, they just had to shut it down because teams were forfeiting. And they had as far as I understand it, there was a number of forfeits that they were going to allow before they just shut it all down, and overnight exceeded that number of forfeits.
Yep.
And NHL doesn't have that. They're just going to postpone games. And as we had joked about in the last episode, like, we didn't think the Olympics was going to happen. And obviously in between episodes, That got postponed, no surprise to us. Or not postponed, just completely canceled for NHL players. And then, you know, they pushed those games, the missing games, into that window, which, you know, was kind of predictable.
Yeah.
But it just seems like, and this is like society-wide, it just seems like in North America we're saying, fuck it, we're just going to push through. Like, that's just the way we are going to handle this. And it's easy to just...
It's blatant. It's like, keep making rich people richer.
100%.
That's all we know how to do in this country.
And not give regards to anybody. And so so the way that I want to talk about this is as a labor rights issue for the NHL as a whole. And partially, yes, about the players. Because they are seeing that the most important thing for the NHL is to keep the tickets being sold. And keep the gates open. And these NHL players are like, you know, whatever, they're in peak physical condition, blah, 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 blah. Most importantly, they're of a socioeconomic status that's going to make them less susceptible to the virus. That's a thing that, like, not enough people talk about, which is that it has the virus has a more effect on you depending on your social circles, and those social circles are dependent on your economic status, that you're just basically, by making less money, you're going to be in situations where you're more likely to contract the virus over and over and over and over again. That's really it. That's the math of it. Hockey players, not those people. But you know who are those people? Are concession stand people, attendance at the games, ticket sales. Like, all of those people are 100% just being thrown to the wolves at this. Just fuck them. They don't make any money. They just need to keep selling the tickets for us.
Yeah.
So sucks for them. Like, honestly, mostly them. Mostly feel bad for them. But everyone else around it, not exactly just the training staff, because most of them are well compensated and most of them are going to be in not the level of economic status of the players, but somewhere above the level where this becomes a health issue for most people. But a level below them, drivers, assistants, you know, the cooks, like those people, once again, fuck them. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's society-wide and in the NHL. It's just been like, let's just say, fuck it. We're doing this. And then I don't know if you saw this. Just recently, a couple days ago, Elliot Friedman tweeted that they're changing NHL protocol based on CDC guidance. Did you see that?
No, but I figured that was the case. I mean, that's why the CDC guidance changed. And they made it abundantly clear it had everything to do with people going back to work and nothing to do with what the science actually says.
100%. Fauci even said it in a interview on TV where it was just like, we need to make sure society still functions, i.e. we need to make sure that business still stays open. This is the thing that Elliot Friedman tweeted out. Per new CDC guidelines, NHL/NHLPA have agreed to the possibility of vaccinated individuals leaving isolation 5 days after a positive COVID test if they have no symptoms or quote-unquote symptoms are resolving. Key phrase, providing such exit is permitted by your local health authority. So the thing that stands out to me is symptoms are resolving. You don't even have to be symptom-free. Just symptoms are resolving, which is like, how do you measure that? What is that like? I coughed.
I feel better, coach.
I coughed 60 times yesterday and I coughed 58 times today. So the symptoms are resolving.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. And so this is going to affect the players. And I did the math. The NHL has around 700 players that are going to be, especially with taxi squads and stuff. If you apply the normal death rate, that means 10.5 players will die. I'm not saying 10.5 NHL players are going to die. I'm not going to say that. Because like I said previously, socioeconomic status affects this. They're probably going to be above the normal death rate. And most of this is just affecting poor people. But you got to think somebody. You got like,
oh, yeah.
Somebody's,
I mean,
life
that's
is at
the
risk
thing.
Here.
That's the risk that they're taking is like, and I think that, you know, you never know how it's going to shake out. That's the whole thing about this virus is just that like to make that, you know, like we know that the risk assessment, you know, like the science says, like we should be not operating as we normally do, but we just don't care.
Yep, exactly. And so there's, I mean, and so it's very easy for you to just be like, the NHL should shut down. But here's the thing. They are obviously financially incentivized to keep things open, but the biggest financial incentivization is their competitors, i.e. NBA and NFL. That if they just decide to shut it down for a season, that's going to affect their revenue exponentially more if the other leagues decide not to do it. And so basically everyone is in this holding pattern waiting for the NFL, the leading sales, sports sales in the North America, to make the choice on this. And they've already shown their cards by basically what they, any situation where the NHL would just cancel games, the NFL just pushes the game back 3 days. Like, that's been their MO so far with the virus.
And they can do that because they only play once a week. And
exactly. So everybody's, that's exactly my point, is that the NFL is not in the same situation as everybody else, where they only play once a week. So if they need to postpone a little bit, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, maybe every team should just play once a week.
I mean,
in the NHL. Maybe that's a solution, is just like, just do that. And then if you have to push a game back a few days, you do.
I'd be fine with that, honestly.
But I mean, the other problem is, like, it just, not that it's not an issue, but it hasn't been as prevalent, the spread for outdoor sports.
True.
Like,
very true.
So that's also just a different scenario. Like, and I don't know. I feel like it's like after, I mean, we started this during the pandemic, this podcast, and like after, you know, 2 years of this with no end in sight, like at some point we have to really start thinking, like, what do we do to change the way we live? Like, and the way we, you know, live within our society, and think radically about what we can do. And it just feels like with a virus like this, indoor ice boxes are just not a good situation for, you know, keeping people safe and continuing to do this. Like, I think they should bring back pro beach hockey.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I think that you need to think radically about everything about that, the way that you have ventilation in any sort of building at this point. Like, it needs to be rethought for safety reasons. But
well, and remember, like, when they first started playing games with, you know, they figured out that they needed to remove the ice behind the benches, or not the glass behind the benches.
Yeah.
But that meant that they had to, like, not sell tickets within a certain radius. So it, like, lowered the amount of attendance they could sell. So, of course, they didn't bring that back this year. But it's like, that seemed to be relatively effective. You know, like, it seems like there are things they've tried that kind of worked. But I don't know. It's also like you're butting up against a much larger threat. And yeah, like, for sure, it's easy for me to just be like, they just shouldn't be playing. But like you said, for all the reasons, we live in a world that's just like, if it's going to hurt the wealthiest parties, like, then that's not going to happen. We can't risk that.
Yep. Yeah. And like, so, I mean, yeah, you're totally right. So, like, this is above the NHL. I don't expect them to make any sort of rational choices right now. I hope that, so this isn't going to stay this way. Like, I don't know, though. Here's the thing. Everybody keeps saying, like, they can't just keep doing what they're doing. Why not? Like, honestly, this seems like, if you're not going to shut it down and you're not going to make any radical changes, this seems like the most obvious solution is to just have large taxi squads and just say fuck it to all regulation whatsoever from the perspective of the NHL specifically.
Yeah, I mean, the other options, just, I guess, like, they're not realistic in this paradigm, you know.
I think the only thing that is realistic is going back to bubbles, and I just don't know.
But that's not, you know, for various reasons. It seemed like the players don't even want to do that.
That's the thing. I don't think the players would do it. I think the players would not play. I think that it would be a labor issue if they asked them to do it.
And whatever, like, because, like, that's hard too, you know, to have to just, like, relocate for an extended period of time and live in this isolated bubble. Like, yeah, that sucks. yeah. So, I mean, I feel you. Like, I'm not surprised that they're going this route. The thing is like, they're totally risking people's lives. And yeah, I mean, I hope it doesn't end up in players or coaches or anybody involved's lives, but it could. Like, that's the risk they're willing to take.
Yeah. And as I've felt throughout this entire experience through the pandemic, is like, every time something happens, I feel like, surely this is the thing. Surely we have reached a point where, like, okay, we cannot continue this sort of behavior. And then it's, no, that never happens. It's always like, we can, you know how far we put our head in the sand? We can go a little bit further. There's still a little bit more space down there. And so I would like to think that if something terrible happens to one of the players or coaches, that would be the breaking point. That I'm not entirely sure, given this historical relevance of the past 2 years. Like, genuinely don't know what it would take to make things change in the league. Because that's what it's going to take. Like, it's going to take the players, like, saying they're not going to do it. It's going to take, you know, like, a combined effort from the players, like an organized movement against playing, for them to do it. And I think there's a significantly, I think a more than half chunk of the players that just don't give a shit at all or have no regard for the real, like the reality of the virus around them, just don't care and don't want to care.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, it's like, it's easier to live that way than it is to dramatically change the way you live.
Because that's the thing. So, like, I brought up the Marchand tweets at the beginning of the episode, and, like, I don't know if you saw those, but he basically, like, pointed out that the league treats the players as though they are commodities, which is, we've been running that beat the entire time we've been doing this podcast, mostly in terms of concussion, but
yeah,
now we've moved into not just concussions and physical injuries, but also, like, a deadly virus.
Yeah.
But the, but he, when he was making that argument, it was in regards to getting the league to let them go to the Olympics. That he was arguing for, like, letting us do this thing, which is putting more people at risk. Like, the Olympics shouldn't fucking happen. Should just be a
straight up.
We're not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we'll try again in 2 years, like we did a little while ago. But like, Olympics are out. And international, like we just saw with one event with World Juniors, like it cannot be contained. And so there's thinking that you can do multi-sport international event during the middle of a pandemic is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with the Summer Olympics with, like, they had really, no surprise, major issues containing it.
Yep. And so, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say on this. Like, I expect it to stay status quo. But my main point is, because, like, you can't be idealistic. You can't be like, oh, they're going to, like, fight for their rights or whatever. They're not going to fucking do it. Like, we're going to keep grinding into oblivion until things get worse and worse. And maybe something changes, but you can't. You could advocate it for all day. It doesn't really matter. My main point is that this just makes it boring to watch these games. Like, they're just not. Why? Why do I watch? Like, half the players on the team are AHL, like you pointed out. And nobody's playing any systems. Systems are out the window. And the only interesting way to look at this is to look at it as a measurement of an organization and how much depth they can have brought in to where it affects them the least. But, okay, that would be fun in a real league like the NBA. But in this league, it's like there's four teams we've talked about that, like, I trust that they have built a infrastructure to where if somebody goes out, they've got players ready to come up. So what we are seeing is the teams that we've talked about that are good just continuing to be good as the pandemic gets worse. It's just like, I turn on Tampa. Yep, they look pretty fucking good. I turn on Colorado. Yep, they look pretty good. You know, I even Florida still looks good.
Yeah.
But it's like outside of like a handful of teams, everybody looks terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, there's not a whole lot of. It looks such beer league style. And it also just kind of looks like people aren't really trying that hard. Like, which I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's exhausting and weird to not know, like, what if I test positive tomorrow and then I'm in the protocol? And, like, yeah, I don't know. it's dumb. But we've been saying that this whole time, that, like, there's none of this should be happening. This is, like, it's just a goddamn sport that we can figure some other way out to implement it or just pause for a while or just, I don't know. But here we are talking about it.
Yep. Well, all right, so let's have some fun with it then. Let's say... This league is stupid. Like, what is the stupidest thing that's going to happen? And let's, like, take off, like, we don't want to get morbid and talk about people dying. Like, let's not, but, like.
Hopefully that's not the case.
Hopefully not. What is it? Like, I'm thinking, like, Stanley, like, what is a stupid, because, like, here's what's going to happen. We are going to end up with, like, okay, as a way to transition into our game of the week and talking about these teams. We're going to have a team like an Anaheim Ducks, who is an extremely flawed team.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, previously, past two seasons, we saw one of those extremely flawed teams ride a hot goalie, lose to the dominant Tampa Bay Lightning, an actually well-run organization that builds from the bottom up and, you know, is a good team. I predict this season, nope. It's going to be so fucking random when we get to playoffs because given the trajectory, maybe we get like one of those like periods of time in the summer where the coronavirus isn't completely out of control and we can actually watch some good hockey games. Maybe we're lucky for that. But I don't know if you've noticed, but it kind of looks like these variants are speeding up. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's if we're dealing with three different variants going into the playoffs and it's a fucking shit show and you're just cobbling together teams and there's teams playing without full rosters, like less than 20 players and all of that. And you're just going to have the most random two teams playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's just going to be the teams that got hit the least with the virus.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think, I think that it does seem like it kind of ebbs and flows, but it seems to ebb and flow pretty frequently. I think throughout these last 2 years, you know, you get like a few months where it's terrible and then a couple months where it's not, and then a few months where it's terrible again. And so I think most likely it's just kind of like it is now.
Yep. Yeah. I think this,
even with them like lowering the protocols, you're still going to have players sick, you know, and like, and you're still going to have like elderly coaches who can't be exposed, and yet they are. I think that that's like kind of where it feels like it's just, they're just loosening things up willy nilly. But I do think that there is like a degree of risk that they're still afraid of taking. So I don't think that they'll loosen up the restrictions much more than they have. And so we'll just be basically where we are now, where you just have random half AHL roster teams and star players not in the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, I agree 1,000%. The only thing I disagree with is they are just going to follow what the CDC says. And I don't think this is the end for the CDC. I think restrictions will be loosened further and further because here's the thing. So they went to 5 days because they were supposedly lobbied against by whatever, airline industries, whatever, to reduce the amount of time off to make sure that the workforce can get back out there. Well, this is so short-sighted because all this is going to do is increase spread. It's exactly what it's done. So you're going to end up in the exact same fucking boat. You're just going to have, they're just going to go and spread, and then you're going to have, instead of these people out, you're going to have these people out. So, these were only out for 5 days, but now the other half of the staff out for another 5 days. So same boat, exact same boat. I don't see a way that this is better. And especially with variants where it's like, who knows how many times you can catch this now. We all went into the pandemic.
Well, exactly. Like there's just no, and there even, there's been no evidence of like legitimate immunity that's built up from having it. You know, like I think we're still getting the data from Delta variant. So we don't know with Omicron. It's possible you could just keep getting this thing over and over again. Like we really don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're going, so here's what, but my point is that like, okay, so that we're thinking like, you only quarantine for 5 days, which means you can open business more quickly. Well, like I said, probably just going to spread it. That actually doesn't help you any. It's very short-sighted. Could be worse. So I could see a situation where it's just like they continue to half these days. You know, it's going to like CDC will come out in 3 to 6 months with like, looks like you only need to stay home for 2 days. And then, you know, many months later, you don't have to stay home anymore. Just catch it, pass it. Who gives a fuck? Like that's the trajectory. They're not going the other direction.
Yeah.
And
for
so that could be a situation where the playoffs are just a fucking shit show. And maybe the GMs have the foresight to schedule a bubble for the playoffs. Maybe. Once again, will the players go for this? Will they even want to do that? Will they even want to participate?
Doesn't seem like it.
Also, like how many, like for example, one of the main reasons why last playoffs has like one of the asterisks for me on last playoffs is Boston didn't have their best fucking goalie because he was just like, nope, peace out, already did this, I don't want a part of this. And so who knows how many players are like, I can guarantee goddamn to you Robin Leonard is not playing in the playoffs if it's in a bubble. No fucking chance.
Oh yeah, no way.
So who knows how many players have been sitting on the fence and just biting the bullet and playing through the bubble for the past, and then they get to the third time and they're like, fuck it, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, probably way. And that's always been the thing with the bubbles, is like players have the right to opt out.
And so, okay, so let's say we get a bubble and they're able to limit spread a little bit. You're still going to have a bunch of players opting out. So once again, we're in the exact same boat. The players we want to watch aren't out there. All of this is totally meaningless and random. And so what I predict is that this is going to be one of the dumbest Stanley Cups we've ever seen. Like this is going to be Dallas winning against Buffalo with the foot in the crease level. Stupid. Like just everybody's going to be like, what the fuck is happening?
I mean, it could also even still end up being a legitimate good team winning, but likely winning without their star players, and likely winning like through just a really boring series of like no tactics, no coaching really being able to be done because there's a rotation of coaches who are on protocol. Because that's what's happening right now, you know. It's like every team has like at least one or two coaches out, you know, at any given point in time.
All right, yeah, well, so basically what I'm saying is that this shitty Anaheim team is going to win the Stanley Cup. Calling it right now.
And they're rough.
Okay, so yeah. So how's the... Well, right off the gate for the last 2 weeks, they didn't fucking play. So we didn't really get to watch them play. Like, I just went back into the time machine and watched some games from a month ago. I just picked random games from far away ago to watch.
Well, and Vegas actually was able to squeeze out a bunch of games.
I watched way more Vegas than I did Anaheim.
But Anaheim only had like two games, and I had the intention of going back, but I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. You know, at that point, it's just like, it is what it is. And in the couple weeks that we watched these teams, I mean, I feel like with Anaheim, it is kind of crazy. Like, it makes me wonder just what sort of shooting percentage bender they must have been on, because, like, they're not that good. You know, all these young players, I think, are legit and exciting, but I don't think they're there yet. You know, like, they can't match up against really good teams.
As evidenced by our game of the week.
Yeah, and so Vegas, I think.
Well, hold on. Let's stick to Anaheim.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, yeah. Like, it's just, I wasn't very impressed by really anyone. Like, pretty mediocre hockey. I guess, like, there are weird things, like Cam Fowler and Ryan Getzlaf are still like two of the best players on this team, and it's like, oh, okay. That's not good. But yeah, no, they're just very shaky looking team.
I spent a little bit of time and I looked back at some of their games before they got put on pause. And you're not wrong. The only difference is the Zegras line is incredible. And he's better than advertised. Like, he is the full package. He is, and I hadn't really paid too much attention to him. He was one of the ones that was kind of a blind spot for me in the draft. And I just had him pegged as like a sniper or something. Like, I just thought he was just like a, you know, like just a forward, you know, just a goal scoring forward or whatever. And he is everything. He's an incredible skater. Like, I hadn't heard anyone talked about his skating, but he can fly out there. And then the biggest thing is his deception and like decision making with the puck. Like, it's just phenomenal. Like, he, not just passing and finding space and like making plays. Like, he has all that. And then his release is ridiculous. So like, he's great. He can drive a line on his own, for sure. And so looking into the numbers, you're right. Like, because they're leading their division. I don't know if they still are at this point, but, like, when we started researching them, they were the top of their division.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on here? And so watching just right out the gate, I'm like, fuck no. No way. This team sucks. And then looking under the hood at some of the numbers, basically they are, like, in the best case scenario in most numbers, they're in the average. Mostly offensive numbers. They have some like average offensive numbers. Their defensive numbers are bottom of the league across the boards. And then the only thing that they're good at is generating high danger chances. They were, when we started our research, they were ninth in the league. I don't know where they stand right now, but at high danger chances, 4 per 60, they were ninth. Still not elite, but, you know, pretty good. That's pretty good. And the only thing that I can attribute that to is there's two things. One thing, they funnel offense. So they stick three players up high and then funnel pucks towards the net. The other thing is that the Zegras line is super threatening. Every time they're out there, they're generating chances. And it does appear that they are offensively really focusing on those high danger chances. I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed many times where other teams would just kind of sling pucks at the net. They're looking for that pass across into the slot to get a better chance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I definitely noticed them, like, really trying to get like a Zorro pass.
Yeah, they're really looking for the high danger chances. They're looking for the high percentage stuff, which I can appreciate. Like, especially when you're already going to get three players up high and funnel pucks towards the net, if you're going to use that as like a chance to leverage for the more dangerous looks, then that looks good to me. The other thing is that they don't exactly surf the same, they surf, but not exactly the same way that we see Florida and Calgary. They do a different style where the far side defender cuts in front of the short side defender. So if the 2-on-2 is coming down and let's say they're on the left side, the right side defender will slash across in that same kind of like surfing angle, like forechecking angle, and attack the player with the puck while the short side defender, the left player, will kind of back in towards the middle. So if things break down, they're still there. And so it kind of gives that, it creates a double team and it takes away space and it gives the attacking defender that kind of speed and angle that they need. It's interesting. The issue with this team, to me, is construction. I actually think Dallas Eakins is doing a pretty decent job here. I just think this back end is atrocious. I don't think he has really the pieces. Bad. And the biggest issue that they have are exits. They just are constantly getting forechecked into oblivion. They cannot get that pass out. Most of the passes that they make are like in the feet or bobbling around, or forwards are having to like, they get a lot of icings. They're to me, this looks like roster construction. I'm actually pretty impressed with the way the team plays, and even some of the deployment, he'll kind of shuffle around and look for better deployment. I'm pretty impressed with that as well. I didn't expect to like Eakin's coaching. Like when I looked at the numbers, I was like, okay, this looks like another shit NHL coach, but looking at some of the things they do, it looks a little bit more progressive. I just think that nobody's good on this team except for the kids.
Exactly. And like, I mean, even like Drysdale, like, I don't think he's like a, I don't really see him as like a number one, you know, like,
yeah,
but he's being deployed in like a lot of, against a lot of really good talent. And I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, like if that's good or bad for his development. It definitely affects his underlying numbers. But I see a lot of promise. I think he's going to be a solid, you know, like number two or number three. And then, like I said, what surprised me was just like that Cam Fowler, who is clearly not as good as he once was, is still like one of their most reliable defenders. And it's just like,
yeah,
that's not good news at all. And
no,
Hampus Lindholm is toast.
Same thing with Shattenkirk.
Yeah. Love Shattenkirk, but yeah, he doesn't got it.
No, that ain't it. Yeah. So the one thing I will say, I didn't get to watch the team enough to feel as comfortable as I do with like player to player scouting as I usually do. Like I there's a ton of players that I couldn't tell you about on this team.
There's a bunch of random AHLers on this roster right now.
It's hard to keep keep up with them. But the team that I do feel comfortable, because we've spent a lot of time looking at them, is Vegas. So like, what are your initial thoughts on Vegas? Like,
so I mean, I think my initial thoughts are, and it's funny because like I didn't even go back to watch the old Anaheim games. So in this week, 2 week chunk that we watched, Zegras wasn't playing. So that's a huge part of that analysis that like I didn't even get a sample of. And kind of similarly with Vegas, so many of their players are out. And I think my initial thought was just like, they still look pretty damn good even when they're this like decimated. I mean, shoot, I don't even think Leonard's been playing any of these games. That was like kind of my initial thought, was just like, well, shit, they're still like, that's a testament to the roster they've constructed. And it is kind of ridiculous that like they can have this depth. I also wonder though if like some of it is a lower level of competition because everybody's dealing with this. But the other thing that I noticed as I watched is, and I wonder what you think, because to me, after covering this team, which we have like watched them a bunch over the last couple years, I feel like they have the same structural problems they've always had. Like, I don't see any adjustments. It looks like they play the exact same way.
You're 1,000% right. And the thing that I notice is they are good to elite in all of their offensive numbers, which we've seen before. They are average to way below average in all of their defensive numbers, which is exactly what we said about them last season.
That's like where they were. Yeah. And like, so it just begs that question of like, why can we expect anything different than what's happened to them every other year, where like maybe they make it far in the playoffs, but they're just stuck in their system. They can't adjust, you know? And so you can come up against a Montreal and you have no solution, or a Vancouver, which they barely were able to beat that year.
So I think it's two things with this team, which is, basically, the way that they play is they're hyper-aggressive offensively in with their forwards mostly. Their D will for sure jump into the play and create that fourth forward, for sure. They definitely do that. But one of the things that they do is their forwards stretch immediately. Two forwards will leave the zone very quickly, and it will make them look for those stretch passes more often, but it usually works out because all the forwards are good skaters, and they do have an extremely talented forward group. And for the most part, their defenders are pretty good at puck movers. They've got a lot of guys like Petrangelo and Theodore that can move the puck well. So what this does is they end up with this big gap between their forwards and their defenders frequently. And what this does is when things break down, it means that their defenders are alone. And they don't have a lot of good defensive defensemen. They've really only got Whitecloud. Everybody else is a more offensively good defender. Yeah. Whitecloud's the only one that can anchor it down back there. And so that's why whenever you see him play with Petrangelo or Theodore, those two have breakout games, look fucking incredible.
Yep.
But as soon as you split them up from him, especially, and sometimes DeBoer will do this, especially when they play together, when those two play together, they're in fucking trouble. Because The forwards are gone. They'll look for the stretch pass. If it doesn't work out and there's a neutral zone turnover and a counter, those two are not good at that, especially being flat because there's a huge gap now and being alone. And so that's a lot of their... And so what this leads to is they give up tons of high danger chances. They're just like not good at limiting chances. They don't stop entries very well. They give up a lot of entries from these issues. Just not being able to contain the neutral zone from their own mistakes. So it's kind of a high risk, high reward, because the other thing they do is they get a lot of breakaways, like more than I think we've seen from any team we've watched this season. And so, I mean, there is that aspect to it. Getting the puck touches to the forwards really quickly, pretty good on this team because those forwards are all really good. My issue with it is given their defensive group, I would like those defenders to be more aggressive. I would like to see those defenders move up into the play more quickly, carry the puck more, be closer to the forwards, and surf. If this team surfed, they'd be unstoppable. And their defensemen are all backing in on their heels with huge gaps, which is the worst thing you can do. It's a very antiquated system at this point. And I get it, like, not all of the league has embraced surfing yet, but we're seeing more and more teams do it. Especially when you have the talent that you have on this team, given their attributes, I mean, this team would be primed for it. And that's the only thing, like, that's the critique I have for them, is that, I mean, they need their defensemen to be on the offensive circles, ready to attack the exits from the other team so they don't have to play with these big gaps in the neutral zone.
Yeah, I think that where they benefit is with players like Stone and Waugh, who are just so good at the F3 position. Yep. that can make up for it. But, yep, you know, you're right. they didn't have Stone. Waugh, I think we've been singing his praises for a while, but especially in our game of the week, I thought he looked incredible. But they're missing that right now. Weirdly, in this 2-week span, a player that I thought looked really good in every game I watched was Keegan Kolesar. And it's crazy because, like, that line, the, like, Carrier, Kolesar, Waugh line has looked like their best line to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what the hell?
And that's an testament to them. Their forward depth is, like, some of the best in the league. Like, they are just, they're all good. Like, they have really good forward group.
If we weren't in a COVID time and, like, they could have their full roster, that might be their fourth line, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a dumb amount of depth to have.
The one thing that I will critique about them is their use of Dodonov. And I know that, like, there's people that, especially in, like, analytics community, really like to dunk on him. But, like, I don't think he's that. I think he's pretty good. And almost all of the shifts I watch from him, he's, like, makes plays. He's the one making plays and, like, creating chances, getting entries. Most importantly, getting entries. Like, he's fucking great at getting entries.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I would like to see him get some time with those other players, with those other good players. Like, I'd like to see him on the Stone line once or twice. Like, give him some looks. Let him play with Carlson, you know? Get him up with those better line mates and let him do his skills, because I think he's just getting underutilized right now.
Yeah, that could be. I think he does look pretty rough, but it could be just that, yeah, he's not on a line with players that he matches up with. Because you're right, he is good at driving play. And there are a lot of players on this team that aren't.
Yeah, I think I watch a lot of shifts where he makes good touches and gets it to his line mates and the play dies because of them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, you ready? Let's jump into the game of the week specifically. So, I mean, I don't have a lot to break down because obviously the Knights just fucking dunked on the Ducks.
Yeah, this was a rough one.
So right out the gate, before we get into actually rating it, I'm just going to tell you, Max, 5, because you can't be missing 3 of the best players.
We don't have
to rate yet. I'm just saying.
I'm low.
I'm saying going it, like, just to set the tone of how shitty this game was. As soon as we flipped it on, and it's like, okay, Zegras is out, Stone's out, Pacioretty's out. Why the fuck do I care about this game? We don't even have Leonard in net. Like, who gives a shit? This game sucks right out the gate.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of it. It was really hard to even want to watch. I think the most it felt like a real hockey game was the beginning, but it didn't take long for it to start to descend into, like I said, what I know of most of the AHL games I've gone to. It's just like cheap shots and fights and no fun hockey being played.
And I was actually really excited about this game because watching both of these teams going into it, especially Anaheim, their games are fucking wild. Like, before they went on pause, they had this fucking insane game against Arizona.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
It was crazy because they can't play defense. So it doesn't matter who they play against. Like, they give up turnovers and then they come back the other way. Yeah, it's crazy. So I was like, oh my God, neither one of these teams can play defense, and like Anaheim plays like high event games. This one's going to be a blast. I was like, this is going to be our best game that we've watched in years. And the opposite. Like, it was just like, nobody could play. Like, the biggest problem was that Anaheim was mostly an AHL team. So we were watching a team with, like, missing three of its best players just completely annihilate them.
I mean, yeah, there was, like, half the game I'm seeing, like, I'm sorry. I don't know who Isaac Lundestrom is. I don't know who Buddy Robinson is. Is that a real person?
That's made up.
And then, like, I've seen, of course, Derek Grant, he's like floated around the league for a while, but like these were like top minute players in this game. It was really, really rough to watch. And I don't know. I think it descended into just pure shit hockey very quickly. And like Anaheim just couldn't do anything. It didn't even seem like they were just like, whatever. Like, it's weird to me too, because I've been a big fan of John Gibson for a long time, but I think he looks pretty shaky these days. Like, he's kind of one of those, it's easy to overlook it because he makes these like really big saves, but I don't know. But at the same time, he's having to like stand on his head to save this team.
The looks the team is giving up does not put him in a good spot.
No, and they had 45 shots on him in this game. Like, that's fucked up. You can't let that happen.
Not in the NHL. Giving up 45 shots in the NHL is inexcusable.
It looked like two different leagues.
It basically was.
And Vegas didn't even look necessarily that good. It's just they didn't really have to try. It was too easy.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the first period was like feeling out. There was like, it kind of looked like a NHL game for a bit. The second period like got opened up. There were events, because that's a bummer with the first period. There were not events in the first period. I think there was like a couple good chances. Second period opened up, yeah. And there was a bunch of shit happening. And then
yeah, second period went crazy.
And then the third period, because Vegas had gone up so far, I think both teams just said, we're done. This game's over.
Yeah.
And nothing happened for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was a rough. This is one of the worst games I've watched in a long time, I feel. And we just watched that shitty Seattle Kraken game, and like, yeah, it feels like it's worse. Been a minute since I've watched a good hockey game.
With your recommendation, I watched some of the Florida Tampa game, and that was fucking incredible.
I didn't watch that one. I should have.
Because you were saying we wanted to do that as a game of the week, and like that would have been great.
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to like put that on for a little bit to be like, this is, can I watch some hockey, please?
Seriously.
I think the play that perfectly exemplifies the game was when, Brassois turns over the puck to Delorier to an empty net, and he misses by like 3 feet.
Yeah.
That was the game.
Yep. That's a good way to summarize the way this game was.
That was the entire game. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the stats. Like, another thing, I mean, there was also a shit ton of penalties in this game.
Yeah, it was.
Lots of fighting. Like, it just turned into such a slog. And, like, and Vegas looked terrible on the power play.
Yeah.
Which I remember that being an issue for them in the past, too. And that just, like, kind of furthers into that thought that, like, okay, this team just is stuck in this system. And,
well, the other thing is they're missing Stone. Like, what the fuck are they? Stone and Pacioretty on the power play. Yeah. What do you know?
Man, it sucks, too, because I was thinking about it. Like, you think they'll do the... And I mean, now it doesn't even matter, because who knows what rosters are going to look like. But it feels like, to me, that Vegas is going to... Like, they have options where, like, they would either have to... And I've heard it floated around, like, trade someone like Riley Smith to clear up the cap space for when Eichel's ready. Or they could just do a Tampa and just Eichel won't play until the playoffs, and then they can keep,
I think they're doing a Tampa.
Then they can keep,
I think it's going to be a Tampa, because
this whole roster, and not have to give up someone like Riley Smith, who is still like very valuable.
I think the wrist surgery for Pacioretty is going to clear them for this.
Yeah, that's because true.
Because everyone talks about it like it's dollars in, dollars out. Like, oh, he's $10 million, so they need to clear $10 million. It's like, we're pretty fucking far through the season. Like, yeah, they are not obligated to pay him $10 million anymore. Like, he's only going to take a whatever portion of the salary is left for this season. So if we get far enough, then it's like, that's not going to be, it's not going to be that big of a number anymore. So
totally.
So yeah. So I don't think that, I think they're just going to do the Tampa style, and just Pacioretty's on, injury reserve, and he'll stay there. And then once it gets to the correct dollar amount for Eichel to come in, he'll come in, and then Pacioretty will come in at the end of the season, and then they'll go to the playoffs that way. It's like, but good for them, man. The fucking rules are broken. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's the ideal situation, you know. I mean, I love it. If we weren't in COVID times, like, I would love to see that. I don't get why people complain about, like, cheating or whatever. It's like, we finally get to see a badass team.
I'm all for super teams. I say fuck the cap, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah, let's get into worst player of the game.
The Ducks. their expected goals for at 5-on-5 percentage was 32%.
Oh, my God.
That's how bad this game was. But no, that's not. I'm not really going to say that. It's,
I mean, it's yeah,
just,
that's.
It's just, it's so atrocious how bad
I thought Delorier. I thought Delorier was pretty fucking awful, but like, man, take your pick on that team.
I know. It's kind of true. Also, like, I think Lindholm's looking pretty rough these days.
I thought Shattenkirk actually had a pretty good game this one.
Yeah. He has his moments still. Like, he has a value, I think. But they just, they have such a terrible defensive core that they have to play him. What, he played 22 minutes this night? Like, that he should be on your third pair, you know, like, and I think he does have a value there. Yeah, I'm with you, Delorier. I hated watching him. they're just, it's almost like there's so many choices on that team. Maybe you have to choose someone from Vegas as the worst player. I'm not super high on Ben Hutton.
Oh yeah, we didn't like him before.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right, now try to pick a best player of the game. Pretty tough in this one. I mean, there were some players that played. I thought Riley Smith, he's my player of the game. I thought he had a great game.
He had a great game. I thought Wah had a great game. He was like kind of blowing my mind. I think that's who I would go with for player of the game in this one.
Yeah, I thought White Cloud was great. I think that he is criminally underrated in this league. I know that Jeff Merrick's a really big Nick Hague guy, but like, dude, the player is White Cloud. Like, that's
guy. No, Hague's not. No.
Yeah.
I feel like people are kind of starting to catch on to White Cloud.
I hope so, because he's, you know, I've been on this beat since we started this thing. Like, since,
but he's definitely who they think Pietrangelo is. That's White Cloud.
I will say, I think DeBoer knows White Cloud is good now, because I don't think he knew it last season. But the way he uses him now,
he's relying on him.
Yeah.
Majorly. Yep. And that's good. That's a good move. And I think that I think that that's helped Theodore take a step back up again. You know, like a few years ago.
And Theodore looked good today. Yeah. Theodore looked good in this game too. Actually, yeah, he was great. He had a great game.
He had a really good game. He was up there in my rankings too. But yeah, I'll stick with Wah.
All right, then. Let's give this thing its fucking rating. Probably going to be the worst rating we've ever given a game.
I'll say a 2.5.
I'm going 2.
Yeah.
It was brutal. I did not watch it twice. No shot that I'm watching that fucking game
no
twice.
Oh, no way.
You couldn't pay me.
No. maybe we'll get a better shot next time. What did we choose?
So the game of the week for the fourth. So once again, we're sticking to our biweekly schedule. So we will be releasing an episode around the 15th of January. And we will be watching the game on, I think it's the 13th. And it's between Tampa Bay and Vancouver.
Yeah. All right. Hoping for a good one on that one.
Hopefully we can actually watch a good hockey game. with that, we'll see you next time.